Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. And that's Michaela Gaston singing Oya De, as she has for 23 years. And she will be one of my many fabulous musical accompanists at the Bioneers October 18th at the Marin Civic Center, free to everyone at 9 p.m. in the exhibition hall. So, yes, so many things. A good segue from previous show, Alex Smith and Echo Shock. Yes, we want to be informed and then implement into actual action all these things. Okay. So I did just give a pretty great talk at the NCGR Astrology Conference in Baltimore. Woof, 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 woof. It's available if you are on Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, or Monday Night Trickster. There we go. And then, yes, it's a conundrum about traveling. I will be teaching in Bali November 8th through 16th with fellow astrologer Rick Levine. And it is a conundrum. I do, you know, as we know, just long way. Not so much for Australian allies, but still, it's true. But all I can say is we dedicate inwardly, and then the auguries for this journey, fabulous. So if you want to know about that or join us in this animistic, pragmatic mysticism applied divination council in Bali, November 8th through 16th, go to coyotenetworknews.com. So to weave a little context for our more than perfect guest, Michael Stewart Ani, whom I'll be bringing in. But first, I just want to weave a little mythic, a basket woven out of serpents, right? So of all times, what he's dedicated to, what this show is dedicated to, this is really it, visionary activism. And it's very specific in the astro mythology. All these fabulous, the new moon and all these planets in Virgo, you know, forming a grand trine in Earth to Uranus and Taurus, animistic cooperation with all the beauty in nature that we love, into Saturn, into actual structures of governance that humans humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. It wants to happen. And it's opposite Neptune. So it is vision, you know, vision and action. Yes, many things we're going to cover, but more than perfectly, therefore, we welcome the return of Michael Stewart Ani, one of our best prepared guides to the Amazon, the war on life, and what can we do? How shall we gather in this radio council in the realm of pragmatic mysticism and applied divination? His website is Michael Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Ani, A-N-I, .com. Respected author and storyteller, stories and knowledge of entheogens, yes, and sacred plant ceremonies are the focus of his book, The Ghost Dance, An Untold History of the Americas. Welcome, welcome, spirit brother Michael Stewart Ani.
Welcome. Good to be here, Caroline.
And then is it okay with you if I found two paragraphs of something I wrote in the late 80s that seems so pertinent to our dynamic. Is that fine with you if I read it now?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's in a book, The Astrology, The Macrocosm, a collection of essays. My essay, and this is written in 1986. That's so prescient. Okay. And it's called Dreams and Disasters. And several pages in, I write, "The rainforest is a central reality and symbol, moist, luscious, teeming with an exotic and mysterious profusion of life forms that have evolved over millions of years. This surely is one of the habitats of the Earth's soul, the cornucopia of nature's abundance, the grail. Throughout core Western mythology has always been contrasted with its demonic polarity, the wasteland. The lesson has always been and will always be one of reversal, Neptune. It is not that the grail serves us, but it is we who serve the grail as wise stewards. When we violate this trust, it makes us crazy and ill. It sends a convulsive shudder down our collective backbone. From Wall Street to the inner city and on into our bedrooms, how we treat the rainforest, the grail, is how men treat women, is how we treat our souls. Everywhere we feel a crisis of the soul, a crisis of that vision, a crisis of Neptune, dealing junk bonds on Wall Street and crack on the corner, or trading sex without reverence, is both a reflection and acceleration of soul death based on a spiritual alienation from our task as compassionate stewards and our truth as one unified being. The whole of creation groans and celebrates together. We cannot pluck one strand of creation without resonating the whole. There is no joy or pain anywhere in which we do not partake consciously or sublimely. Poignancy is the experience of kinship." Well, wow. So, there you go.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that really does touch the essence of the situation we're in now. And just adding one thing, rainforests too are the only place on Earth where actual new species are created as we are living through life. That's how potent that statement is.
And the bottom of the sea, there's biogenesis.
Yes, that's true, too. Yes,
right. Just as a sidebar, when we hosted fantastic scientist, can't remember his name, Deep Ocean, hi there, really great show. But he said, yes, we've done terrible things at the deep, 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 deep level. But keep in mind that there's these vents blowing new life, you know, into the all the time. Just so it is. It's death and life. Right. As we spoke backstage and always the war on life. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, as we spoke about so many times, because of the culture we've been brought up in, we see things in good and evil. But when you look at things through talking plants, when you look at things through living in the jungle, and, of course, the way you see it, too, we both realize it's really this incredible dance between life and death that we are all part of on our small personal stories and on the big story.
Right. So the micro and macro, and as I've been saying increasingly, but astrology really is this exquisite language of our interior psyche, the micro us, and its separation by a thin membrane we call identity to the whole vast collective pulsing thing. So before us, I mean, you're uniquely qualified as guide to the Amazon and the horrific ecocide going on, and how we can dream and implement around all that, which is crucial. But so for all of us, there's a micro customized underworld in which the medicine is to be brewed, you know, and it connects us to the outer world. And we all right. So everything we've ever done is incredibly pertinent. Who brought what to this Renaissance? And your unique history. I know you've been guest and spirit brother for very long, you know, on the show, you know. But just a little bit of your dedication, the journey that brought you here, and how it syncretizes into being able to be such a good guide. I'll leave it at that. Yeah,
I mean, to put it in a nutshell, what's going on right now in the Amazon with the intentional arson burnings by the Brazilian oligarchy, this is not the first time this happened. Even in modern times, it took place in the 60s, and then it took place again in the 80s. And I was directly involved in fighting the fires and the epidemics and the invasion in the land of the Yanomami and the Pierrot the Miquiradari in the 80s, through all the way from the 80s and 90s up until to the past 2000, the new millennium. And so because I've actually been in that struggle, and also I'm partly living here in Northern California and was right in the middle of the fires up here and saw how amazing, the amazing folks, the firemen and women who handled this were just incredible, and their equipment was astonishing, and they were true heroes. So I'm trying to be a bridge at this point between something I very much was part of in the Amazon and learning the most modern techniques here to try to come up with some real solutions, because as the fires are burning, I have yet to see real solutions outside of using the 747 super water tanker, which actually had some very positive effects in Bolivia.
Right. You know, and again, to envision that, the kinship of what you say, the fire responders at the Tubbs Fire and all in California, you know, and what we were speaking backstage, the technology, you said the displacement pumps and so on, and
exactly,
how shall we
exactly
envision, you know, and what I also said backstage was, you know, it's like, all right, burners, you know, festival attendees, it's not just Hina and a honkies, come on, it's like, let's apply this, let's guide this in some way. And you'd said maybe this year they wouldn't burn the thing at, you know, Burning Man, but we go, all right, so anyway, we're all working on. But how, you know, might we guide our imagination to the desirable, and then we can figure out backwards the how
of the technology. Great point. For me, my life has always been twofold with this. On one level, I'm a very pragmatic and practical person. I love to solve problems and figure them out and find solutions. Yet on the other side, I very much believe in the powers of talking plants, in the ancient belief systems that these people have kept alive for thousands of years. And let's be real, now with the whole psychedelic revolution happening in the Western world, we wouldn't even know about it if it wasn't for these people. So in my history, when I was young and the spirit of Dishitu sent me off to help the children of the forest in payment for the great gift I was being given, I learned that the only way you really get into the true secrets, the deeper things beyond the psychedelics to the talking plants to the actual essence, is by giving to those, the forest and the people, who this is their lineage that we are now adopting. So I very much believe that it's a twofold thing, that on one level we must be very practical. As we'll talk a little bit more about displacement pumps and the lack of them right now in the Amazon. And in the 90s, I found the most crucial tool we had to stop the small part of the fires. The big fires, like the Tubbs fire, and this is many, many times multiplied more than that, it was $100 million to do it. So we've got to think really large to tackle the Amazon. And if humanity will step up and go past our limits, and all of us now use these fires as a way to ignite our awakening in very negative things quite often. They're very positive things. These fires could wake us up, and humanity really stands up and shows our desire to survive and to take care of our niche in nature. We can deal with this, but there's a 60-day limit. There is a supposed cease and burning now, but of course that's not taking place because these fires were pure arson. They were not small farmers and ranchers trying to burn a couple more hectares to get more land for their pastures. This is an illusion that's been created. Jair Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, outright empowered one man whose name is Naban Garcia. Luis Antonio Naban Garcia, who is directly tied to the Nazi movement in the 60s, who has a notorious record. He is a, quote, famed Indian killer. And he literally paid people off, orchestrated this, took it all the way to Brazil, and actually set the fires in Brazil. And to just give a little look of the underbelly, what's below the smoke, the region that has brought out complaints about Evo Morales, the president who did this and stood up in Brazil, is Santa Cruz, and the mayor, the top official of that region for many years, was Klaus Barbie, the Nazi butcher of lions that was kept in power there by the United States government in their search to catch and kill Che Guevara. So we're dealing with some very deep issues under the smoke here. Beyond the fire, when the fire lifts, there are assassin squads in the Amazon. They've sent 20,000 assassins into Yanomami land in Brazil, and there's only 20,000 Yanomami approximately with women and children. So we're dealing with a much bigger issue than just meets the eye. First, we've got to deal with these fires or the forest will be gone, and I'm absolutely sure of this. If we don't get this done in a relatively short time, all the clear cutting that's been done to deal with the fires now will be dry and catch on fire. And we'll have a fire in a couple months in the Amazon, 10 times the fire we have now. And then humanity, as there's a couple indigenous women from Brazil who've been speaking in the media, and they've been doing just a beautiful job translating from their native idiomas. And they've pointed out, people, we're on the front line. That means you are right behind us. And yes, we can metaphorically think of this as the lungs of the earth, but the earth doesn't have lungs. If you're like me, a person who believes Mother Nature is alive, her respiratory system is more like a skin. All the trees everywhere are part of her respiration, but there are phylo and retroviruses, what they call like HIV, Marlsberg, Ebola, that came out of Africa when the destruction took place in the Kinshasa Highway there. These hemorrhagic fevers, some of them like HIV, are a million years old, and they've been kept from the human mass of herd, us, by the forest. And by burning it down, we are going to release pan-epidemics upon the world like we've never seen before.
Yeah, it is like in a lesser way, poison ivy grows where humans disturb nature, right? It's all call and response.
Exactly. That's what killed the people in Jamestown. When they didn't work with the indigenous people because of what happened with the pilgrims, they decided to do all itself. They cut down the forest. The indigenous people watched from the hills as they all caught poison ivy and poison oak. And most of the people there died a terrible death from these plants that take over when the true forest is destroyed.
So there's so much in what you said when you said let the fire ignite. We go, metaphoric points, excellent, because it's part of, again, what I've been brewing, what we're all brewing, what I want to put forth to everyone to experiment and ruminate on is that model of can we wheel and deal with what we love in nature in its animistic kinship form so that some of what we've as a rogue species have incurred, like you would just delineate the plagues, the thing, could be, you know, worked out metaphorically. Ignite our hearts, O fire, you know, burn not the forest and we will do this, you know. I base it just the way my little meme is, you know, from Edgar Cayce, real psychic in the 1940s, said in the 1970s, the east coast of America would be deluged by a great flood. Watergate, right? Sometimes it's metaphoric, right? So I want to just encourage those with an affinity to experiment with backstage, you know, telepathic negotiation with what we love, going, oh, water, oh, wolves, oh, rainforest. Just can this, you know, and then we have to really put things on the table. As you were saying, also, Michael, it's like envisioning and doing. It is visionary activism. This is the time, and it's got complete backup from the astro-mythology guiding story that, you know, the desirable dream does want to be invited into incarnational actuality. You know, cooperators are standing by. And that's where we've loved the entheogens that heal, restore our participatory kinship, you know, with everything going, hello, hi there.
Exactly. You know, visionary activism is absolutely the correct phrase for it, because the thing with the talking plants is, and psychedelics, in our world, psychedelics have been introduced in a new way where they are dealing with many of the mental illnesses, neurosis, traumas of the world falling apart around us and us in society. And they are kind of the door opening for people to come on board and see further. But what I don't want people to lose is that these chemicals, yes, I took LSD in the mid-60s, and they opened my mind and got me moving on this path. I very much believe they opened the door. But I have learned from all my years in the forest and all that's the entryway. The true talking plants, the true rituals of the indigenous people are actually the way to communicate with nature. The psychedelics are to heal us in society enough that we progress on a path where we can reach the talking plants and communicate with nature. There's a lineage here, and I very much believe myself, as I do too, I know many people, including me and every medicine person in the forest, is praying for rain, And Mother Nature will ultimately bring the rain and end this, but who knows what will happen before that. And also, I'm just a person where I give it my best in the spirit world. I let it lead me. And then I really physically try to manifest it and just not say, oh, I worked on myself. Okay, this is good enough. No, I'm sworn to paying my debt for being allowed into the sacred world. I paid a great price to come into this world. I fought epidemics and watched many people die in my arms that I had great love for. The price has been great, but also the insight and what I've learned has been truly unique and incredible. And this is what I'm trying to offer to people, that yes, there's a healing process involved, but there's also a process of how we're going to heal our relationship with nature. Human beings are a part of nature. Indigenous people serve an incredible purpose in nature. The CO2 we breathe when we sleep caused the rise in flowering plants, flowers and flowering plants that give us many of our fruits and vegetables. Before, there was humanity sleeping and putting off this type of CO2. And the creatures that are part of our humanity, the plants were not growing and flowering. We are very much part of it, but we've been, I believe, tricked out of knowing our place intentionally by a long-term Calvinist evangelist belief system that really says that some people were born to rule, God made it that way, and some people were made to be slaves and poor, and that's God's choice. And if that's God's choice, I'm not interested in that God. I'm interested in gods that give to the people as the people give to the gods, as the saying, Ninashkatachili, the gods give to those who give to the gods.
Right. No, I think, no, it is all one story. That's good. Tricked out of our intimacy, tricked by the reality police into tying our collaborative magic hand behind our back and then going, God, life is really hard with one arm, you know. Oh, wait, we have another arm. That's
Where is it?
And again, just in the micro macro, in the immediate and then the whole vast thing going, we are here to revisit some forks in the road in our human journey. Like, how did we get to this place where we're outsourcing Saturn leadership to the lowest nadir of whatever of devolutionary of the devolution of our human species, something like that.
It is true devo.
Oh my God. So yes, and as you say, you know, trickster, you know, dementors to rule and be ruled, and all the sneaky forms of colonialism. It's very up, and it is all, you know, one story. But that delicious thing that you said, the true purpose of humans. Right, I just want to kind of go backwards about how you set that up in our conversation before, because it's so crucial. So you talked about the plagues, right? Or that's important. The retrovirus is unleashed by our destruction of the forest. Oh, heedless humans. You know, and that, you know, that Dishitu told you long ago that nature would rise to the occasion. And I had said, you know, oh, if we had to choose species, you know, really, humans are not my favorite. I go, let's leave it to wolves, you know. And you go, no, we have a purpose, right? And that's how you said that, you know, the true purpose of humans is a unique form of CO2 that part of its resonance is it gets flowers blooming. Maybe you could just say that again.
Yeah. You know, there's two sides to that thing. Yes, we, you know, Dishitu long ago, and I'm talking 40-some-odd years ago, when I was already on this path and I was been to the great jungle of the south already, and I was like, but Dishitu, the destruction already then, and this, and Dishitu assured me, and this is my hope, this is a personal thing to me, I can't say for anyone else, because very few people have had this experience, so it wouldn't be fair, but he, the spirit behind the true sacred mushroom. This is a mushroom that only grows in one spot where they believe that the Lord Quetzalcoatl danced with the ghost of the Lord of the Dead, and bled semen and blood, and from those steps and that semen and blood, the 2-DC2 grew, which is the sacred mushroom that was used before the 1990s when the cubensis mushroom, which grows either in cow dung or sugarcane, was introduced to Huautla as an economic means to help the area. And it has its lineage and history too, but it's not the sacred mushroom of these people. That's a misnomer. And he said to me that you will see incredible things will take place, and this battle is already won. The magic has been done. The ceremonies are completed. And this, and you will watch incredible things in the heart of fear and darkness unfold. And I, DC2 has told me many crazy things in my life, and many of them made no sense until 25 years later when the exact names of people, he told me, actually came up in these hidden conversations. So over and over, I have found incredible belief in his ability to actually have this hidden knowledge of plants, as called the Prince of Plants, that tapped into that network, that computer system of mycelia that once crossed all the Americas and still binds many plants and trees together into a knowledge. There are certain spirits to very particular plants that have developed the ability to communicate with human beings. They have found a means to communicate and a language to communicate it. So that's very much what I'm talking about. But to be a pragmatic guy on the other side, the huge question before me right now, what I think about is that the reason these people who destroy and rape and do the most terrible things to Mother Nature, why they do it on a base level, because they're not afraid of her and they believe they've raped and pillaged her forever and they can get away with it. If they saw they couldn't get away with it in a moment, they would stop. They are not large enough minded to realize maybe in the moment they're gaining so-called wealth, but they're destroying the future for all of us, including their children and grandchildren. So my deep question is, Mother Nature, when is she going to show them that they can't do this bad behavior to her? And DC2 says she will show them. But as I pray for the rain every night, I'm going, please, Pachamama, show us soon. This is so terrible, and your children are in such trouble. So it's not an easy dance we're doing, the dance of life and death. Personally, and for the world, and for our future, is a tricky thing. But these fires should ignite us to react. And when people feel that pain in their gut, that they feel helpless and can't help the indigenous people in the Amazon, that pain you feel is the first tug of your linking up and being attached to those people and actually feeling. It's not all negative. There's a positive. And don't run away. Don't say, oh, I must hide my head in the ground and do some more self-help work. And there's nothing. There is something we can do. We've been tricked in this ridiculous fake reality TV show they've got us all addicted to, where the stupidest things get the most applause. This is an illusion that we've been purposely tricked into, and it's time to remove that veil of Tezcalipoca and really see things as they are, and then we can heal and find our place in the niche of the weave of nature once again.
Hooray. that is a good and rousing pitch, my brother. It's great. There is much for us to animate in what you just said. We're going to take a very short break in a few seconds because these are deep things we want to get into, and I don't want to start now for 20 seconds and then have our short Taj Mahal break that just reminds us who we are. So you're listening to the Visionary Activist Show. Our more than perfect guest today is Michael Stewart Ani. Again, it's igniting the fire of our passion to protect life. He's one of our best prepared guides to the Amazon. His website is Michael Stewart, Stuart, Ani.com. And we will be right back after this very short break.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Indigo skyship make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Just adjusting things. There we go, I think. So we are right in the middle of, conjuring the fire to put out the fire, and our more than perfect for today guest is Michael Stewart Ani, our prepared throughout his life guide to the Amazon and the connection to California and the war on life and what we can do in the realm of what we are dedicated to, pragmatic mysticism, applied divination. And really, yeah, this is where we're all called upon by Trickster to not be perfect, but to aspire to practice what we've been proffering. Every micro little bit of it, including the language craft. So you just delivered a wonderful, a huge and nutrient rich, I will have to listen to all that you just said, throughout this entire show, Michael Stewart Ani, but also, praying for rain. And what I want to just sort of toss back to and fro between us and spiral out everybody to everybody receptive is, I'm very up for Uranus in Taurus, which is wheel and deal pragmatic mysticism. It's in the sense of voodoo. It's what the anthropologists call transactional spirituality. And we remember the Haitians say, when the anthropologist arrives, the gods depart, right? But we go, it's like experimental. I've been prepared by living with a coyote for 19 years, which is all telepathic negotiation and like buying a carpet in the Middle East. If I give you this, you give me that. No, how about two of those? Okay, all right. And in that sense, the prayer now is part of our spicy trickster willingness to cahoot, and then back to your kinship with the plants and the plants that restore us. To participatory kinship, and I want to toss it to you, but come back also. But you'd also mentioned just Artemisia. Do you want to invite Artemisia to our council?
I have been talking. I have my Instagram site, by the way, is The Ghost Dance, and at least once or twice a week right now, I'm speaking about not only the talking plants, but very practical ways to deal with the Amazon from what I learned from my years fighting fires and plagues in the Amazon and what I learned from the Tubbs fires and the Santa Rosa and the Mendocino County fires, where I've driven through flames myself in a car and everything else and got to witness firsthand how extraordinary some of these firefighters are. Unbelievable. And we are at a place where I'm trying to really hone in what's needed down there. The Artemisia is related to that right now, the biggest epidemics of disease have hit the tribes of the Amazon in any history I know since the time of the conquest, and maybe the rubber boom. And we have incredible outbreaks of measles, malaria, schistosomiasis, leishmaniasis, yellow fever, dengue fever, and there is one plant that back in those days when we were getting millions of dollars of pharmaceuticals from huge pharmaceutical groups that were claiming they were helping, but we were having less than a 14 to 12% success rate, and we were having an over 80% infection rate. So from the numbers, you realize it was useless. We were losing. And a dear friend of mine, Anita, came up with this wild idea. She's the daughter of a famous scientist. And we introduced Artemisia Noel, which is a wormwood plant that comes from Asia and the East, where actually malaria came from, Africa. There was never malaria in the New World, the greatest killer of people on Earth, and in the New World, until Columbus and the conquistadors came. It was introduced, and so is this plant. And we found that with this plant, brewed as a tea, it had outstanding 87%+ success rate for many of these diseases. So we need to be prepared, because these indigenous people won't be able to fight the fires if they're all sick and dying, and it's already happening. This is all part of Bolsonaro's grand plan to annihilate and eco-genocide these people off the face of the earth. And this is the most crucial moment in human history right now, more crucial even than slavery, than the conquest and Inquisition, because this is the time we're going to fight all together for humanity's survival. So this is key to us, and this is a key plan. So we're going to speak further about, Caroline and I are talking about how we're going to get the plants there, the seeds there, get it shipped down, get it growing, get the indigenous people up their grapevine through the jungle to teach the more remote tribes, as I did personally in that time, and it made an incredible difference, and we really need to do this. And one of the other things I spoke about with Caroline about, which you brought up earlier, with displacement pumps, displacement fire pumps that really came out in the 90s. And when we got those, boy, the game changed on a small scale very quickly. They're pumps that on one end from a hose can take water out of a pond, anything, on a river, a pond, and pump it out with high pressure the other end. Because right now, the tools that the people are fighting with down there are basically squirt guns, quite literally. They're like those blaster squirt guns that kids use. It's really hard. We need to really figure out and speak to the firemen, and then we need to send down many, many, many of these pumps, and exactly the kind the firemen. I know the one we used in the 90s, and people claim it's still the best, but I want to talk to the real folks who know and get their advice on this very important subject, and then train the people to use them correctly, because if they're not used correctly, they'll just be a problem. But one thing I know about the indigenous people, when death is on their back and their brains are open, these people can learn at an astronomical speed. There is no question in my mind, down to the most remote tribes, if they're showed in a language that they understand, they're highly intelligent, and they will be one of our front forces fighting this fire. But we also need the world to step up with millions of dollars of the best firefighting people and equipment in the world for the bigger thing. So to me right now, the two things I'm kind of selling is artemisinin and displacement fire pumps. These are things from personal experience that I learned up here, because I've spoken to some environmental groups, and they say to me, well, the people down there really know, you know, they don't know the technology we have here. I've been in both places, so I'm trying to be a bridge, and I'm purposely not putting me or my foundation in this money line that we're going to try to set up to buy these things. I want substantial other foundations, because I want to be free to do what I do, which is figure out these problems and deal with it firsthand. There are other people who are way better than me, as everyone knows who knows me, at raising money and putting it through the systems and all. And that is part of a plan that I'm really trying to work with. And on my Instagram site, The Ghost Dance, I'm trying to gather people together to make a voice, because ultimately we need to speak to the UN and the forces of the world, as France offered a week or so ago, $23 million, and Jair Bolsonaro, of course, turned it down, because he's setting fires today. He's continuing. This is an orchestrated plot of arson, and Bolsonaro and Napan Garcia need to be brought up before the world court on eco-genocide and the genocide murder of innocent people. This is literally what they're doing. So these are the fronts I'm talking about on the practical.
Let's pause and animate that vision. Let's take a deep breath, everybody. We inhale our chi from wherever it's been dispersed into the Dementors, and we exhale into accountability and constraint. Again, all those who are there, that's right. So, yes, war crimes prosecution for Bolsonaro, that would be good as part of our expansive, how do the displacement pumps get there? How do the knowledgeable California fire responders and, you know, and then just for the fun of it, and so you offer so much, we to and fro, you know, language craft for the fun of it. And so we go, and we're going to fight this fire. And I go, okay, how about we're going to extinguish this fire? Which is a better vision? Which is a better vision? Fight fire, we go, oh, that's endless, right? You know, we're going to extinguish, you know. And so part of my proffering, you know, again, you know, the battle, the thing, you know, battles are always lost, and it's part of my you know, how long will we have war, as long as we keep using it as a metaphor. So I just invite us to language craft. Thanks you, Max Dashu, for reminding us that craft means power from dedication. And what's going on now in the sky says linguistic precision guides the vision that the metaphors are especially eager to incarnate, which is why we got two birds stoned on one scone. You know, and again, there we want to be that our playful, liberating language, story, and metaphor are in accord with our dedicated heart. And we go, oh, because that's part of the talking plant skill set. You know, we're communicating with language, eloquence, everything speaking to us. Is one of the great, you know, ancient technologies of intimate magic.
I couldn't agree with you more. And three of my all-time favorite wordsmiths are you, Caroline, Gabriel Marquez, and Bob Dylan. And I love how you always can catch the words, and almost it appears like a great basketball player without any effort. You can really catch them and make them work in a incredible. That
right, and it's our craft is our little boat in the underworld ghost river, right? And so for everybody, you know, what, you know, craft again is a great word, power from dedication, to put behind whatever you do, you know, radio craft, ghost dance craft, you know, fire responding craft. You know, I think it's a really good one. You know, gives power. You know, invites it in. You know, and see again just that idea of the imagery. And for each person, you know, autonomy is a sacrament. So for each person, just to feel, you know, the Virgo planets of now says small things can have a huge effect. Small changes of words can have a huge energetic effect. Everybody feel for the thing. And since we're painting reality with our language, and then in turn the images we paint in radio magic and everyone tend to incarnate into actuality. There we go. With action. Not, you know, again, it's not just, you know, was a. It's the wedding of all of that dedication, you know, of all the activists and all the people doing everything with a dedicated heart, you know, plus the magic intimacy that is our only way to go of collaborative cahooting. So,
and a
yes.
Wonderful thing about that, the god of fire who rests in the crest of the flame, Wewe Tihoto, all the tribes of the South believe that Wewe Tihoto is the way in and out to speak to the other entities, the spirits of nature, the spirits of the elements of nature, the wind, the rain. So just as you say, quite true. It truly is dancing with fire, because Grandfather Fire is the oldest of the land gods. And this is a god that has given us warmth when we are cold, has given us food to cook, has given us many incredible things. So you're absolutely right. The battle of war and battles is not the right language. This is truly a dance with fire, truly coming to a place with the fire and the elements where it finds its true place and finds a balance. It is not a war. It is a dance. Very true.
Hence the title of your book, The Ghost Dance. And it's true, I don't presume to make Bernie Sanders change. We're going to fight climate, you know. It's like everybody autonomy. And again, the trickster within us all would say, we don't really care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice, that you had 20 other words you could use, and you chose to use the word fight, and it wasn't a habit. And we go, all right, you wanted a down rush of adrenaline. You wanted to paint that picture in everybody's mind of like, the struggle, as opposed to the resolution. You know, it's why I do often heckle from the audience. You know, when people support these people's long struggle, I go, I want to support their effective dedication. Yay, what a good image that is. They won. High fives all around. What a good idea, as opposed to. Yeah, but that's also part of you guiding us to all of the humble willingness to in our hearts to be, you know, what can we do, the war on life everywhere, you know, and
we have to be open to learn, you know, you and I, all of us, you know, even in my relation with you, I've learned more about my language, and I know I was born a scrapa, I came out of the struggle, so it's part of who I am. But as I'm maturing and through our relationship, I realize that's a part of me, and that's fine, and I'm good with it. But I am older now, and I have more of an understanding, and I realize, just like you say, when we constantly put it in the terms of good and evil and war, we're trapping ourselves, and it's really all the dance for life and death. It is this great dance we're all part of.
I mean, we got to know about the plagues and the horror and the thing and the critters melting and the jaguars running by and just the fleeing, the full horror of what our species is doing and its devolutionary, dementor,
and
death throes.
And I think you brought up a great point there for me personally. I've spent so much time on that front line. I've had 2 days in my life where I held over 72 people I knew dearly dying in my arms, pushing the hair and the flies out of their eyes. It's had a harsh impact on me. It's my form of post-traumatic that I deal with. And because of it, what happens, we get so hypnotized by the awesomeness and the overbearing useness of it that we lose faith. And I've had a struggle with that in myself, that to even though I was
you used to have a struggle with it, let's just put it in the past for the fun of it, it could come back, but this is a crucial point, because yes, you know, so many people, the likes of yourself, have really been on the lines and going, oh, so it behooves all of us to spell each other, right? To spiral into group mind, expanded repertoire of solace and respect and tolerance and ingenuity and responsiveness. Those of us who have not held someone beloved dying in our arms, you know, do it for those who have, right? And that's, you know, that's part of the reciprocal blessing kind of magic dynamic. And then I just wanted to put in, you know, again, stories. There will be a beautiful, beautiful thing tonight. You can look up and see the moon and Jupiter, the power of the storytelling woman within us all, regardless of gender, etc. You know, straight up overhead, aligned with Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth. We tell stories on her behalf. So it'll just be a beautiful visual. Saturn rising, Venus getting ready to emerge as the evening star. It's all moving there. But yes, and to envision. Oh, the quirky thing I wanted to toss back to you. So many stories, and into the cauldron. We want to throw so many things into the cauldron and ladle out what? Certainty into the cauldron. I think reactivity into the cauldron, ladle out responsiveness. Approve, disapprove into the cauldron. Remember, the Dementors, the fire of the Dementors, you know, this clown, demonically possessed clown, you know, here in Britain. And but they had a setback in Britain and Italy. You know, fascism has had a setback. And we go, so, yeah, beauty and death, you know, neck and neck. And something else I was going to say, but let me just toss it back to you.
Yeah, you know, it's like this divine drama we're in, and then somehow it got turned into a reality TV show, and I've been a little involved with that. And the one thing about reality TV shows is they have nothing to do with reality, as the grand reality TV show we've been tricked into taking part in here. It has very little to do with reality. It has to do with hypnotizing people to follow. But we have free will and we have free choice. And hopefully this is a time right now that we're all going to, you know, it's the story of the plumed serpent. Started out in the underworld, that which crawls closest to the mother's breast, the serpent that never grew legs, and then rose up with feathers to the heavens to touch the skies. And the thing, it's the story of transition, of becoming all you can be, so to speak. And we as a human species right now are at that pinnacle, at that moment where we must rise to become all we can be. And we all have it in us, individually and as a group. But we have to, I believe, the secret to understanding that, which we learned a little of in the 60s, but we got lost because we all got so self-involved in our interpretation of psychedelia that we really paid very little respect to the roots from where it came from. And I very humbly believe
that's one story.
That's where we need to go.
No, absolutely. And again, there's a multiplicity of stories, and they can all be conflicting and they can all be true. So to be full of critique and then all of us, you know, animating the desirable story of ingenuity and kinship and response, you know, these huge things, the fires in the Amazon, the children separated from their parents, and they're, what are we going to do? It's horrible. And then these are before us, and I think we turn to real implementation. As a curious thing to one side in this, you know, again, let us throw certainty into the cauldron and ladle out curiosity, because for all of us, you know, did you know is such a great, nobody minds being asked, did you know, to invite people to the desirable story. And did you know that Pete Buttigieg's father was the premier translator of Antonio Gramsci, and he was one of the lead socialist thinkers of his time? So little Pete Buttigieg grew up with Edward Said around the table, and we go, we don't know where that is now. You know, we don't know that, and he joins the army, and he's the thing, but there's many stories that make people up, and we wonder. And then for all of it, I just think that's fascinating, you know, and few people know that. So it's also to invite the part of others that we want to dance with us.
And I think take that to a bigger level is, I think, part of what I'm thinking now is, and we spoke a little bit about this more personally, is that I can be wrong because I don't follow all the media, but where is Bernie Sanders? Where is Elizabeth Warren? Where is my homegirl, AOC, really bringing forward this, maybe the greatest struggle for mankind in the fires in the Amazon, not the Green New Deal, but specifically the death and the fires going on right now? Because to get this done, we need to reach at that level that they can reach, to the UN, great sources of money, people of great power who see this. We need their voice now, so I'm kind of crying out from the wilderness. Why, maybe you are and I haven't heard it, but why aren't the people I want to be speaking about this? I don't hear their voice yet.
There you go, lad. Thank you for putting the yet at the end of the sentence. There we go. So may our invitation be, not be, yes, we can start off with a biblical plaint. Where, oh, where is an honor? Yeah, okay. And then we go, let's see them stepping up. Let's see this, you know, awakening. At the same time, taking spicy dark humor, you know, when you were talking about nature will out, and I go, right, and we're all making a brew, and I go, oh, pretty good crime writer from Florida, Carl Hyacin, full of dark humor in which the vile people, the evil corporate guy running SeaWorld is eaten by Babu, the orca, some other terrible person is liposuctioned to death, and we go, oh, okay, there's a dark humor to that thing. But I think it is, invite in. We don't need to presume to be the Punisher or the whatever, but invite nature in, going, whatever is truly just in this circumstance, by all means, feel free. We have a few precious minutes I want really to toss to you to guide us, because all this is good, and we do want to keep it going forever, but how shall we see, you say, as the Bernie Sanders, as the Elizabeth Warrens, as the, step up and call for war crimes prosecution, but also call for the UN, call for intervention, let's see that, right? Because it wants to be arousing. Yeah. Like, yeah. In Puerto Rico, let's have pots and pans, dum, 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 for democracy, like in Hong Kong.
Puerto Rico.
It's almost Marie Laveau's birthday next September 10th, right? And it was said that she didn't create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake, saw a role to be played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed people into a moment of cultural ecstasy, right? So for us, we don't have to create cultural movements. Big Mama, Gaia, but to put up our sail and to offer ourselves to it, I think that's part of the thing. But if you can tease us into any specific desirable vision, like what is, we have a minute and a half. I give you a minute and a half for whatever your specific...
Good, because I have to do a quick plug. I'm going to speak on the 21st of September on the Psilocybin Summit, and anyone who wants to tune in, you get a discount if you just do Psilocybin Summit /Ani, my last name, A-N-I, then you get a discount for it. And the Psilocybin Summit is going to talk about, specifically what I'm going to talk about is the pre-Christian history and rituals of the sacred mushroom. And I believe that that is very much a part of everything that's come out, because corn and other things came directly out of the Sierra Masateca, where what this is about. So I think that's a key to it. And the direction is, I said, we need to join forces. We're diffused, and while the flames are burning, things are going faster than, it's hard to get your mind wrapped about things. And that's why on my, on Instagram, on the Ghost Dance, I'm every couple days bringing up the latest things with it. And when we're done, Caroline, we're going to talk about other things that could come the way that people can really help. Group of people, fantastic people, are working very hard.
We're on our way out. Michael Stewart on his Ghost Dance Instagram is indeed fantastic. And also the talk I gave that is also part of this is available if you are a Patreon subscriber. Just not much. The Visionary Activist Show. I will be at Bayern October 18th, and many other things that we will unfold. But thank you so much, Michael Stewart, Ani, that it is good, and we will keep this stirring and brewing. And thanks also especially to Lucretia Burton and Kasani as our board ops. How wonderful. This is Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. CoyoteNetworkNews.com for more Woof Woof Woof.